looking at God's word, and we've started looking at this story of faith, and we've said, as we look at the book of Romans, we see that it is a defense of the gospel. And Paul is writing to a church in Rome that he had not met. He desired to long to he longed to see them, and eventually gets to see them, although he goes as a prisoner. But he goes to see them, and he writes to them to defend the faith and to tell them what is this faith that they have believed in? What is this, righteousness that has come to them that is different from the righteousness that is given by the law? And he starts his argument, which we have seen, by declaring that all are sinful, Jews and Gentiles alike. No one is righteous before God, but it is only we are justified freely by the gracious gift of God, and this is by putting our faith in Christ. And so he starts to show us that now there's a righteousness that has been revealed by faith, which is from first to last. That means that when we speak of the righteousness that God gives us, it is not a righteousness based on what we have done or what we are able to do, but it is a righteousness that is based on what Christ has done. And this is usually one of the biggest swing areas with believers, is because we many times think it is what we do that justifies us before God, but the reality is it is what Christ has done. Now, as long as you can always remember that it is not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. As long as you can always remember that it is, I labored all the more, but it was not I that labored, but the grace that worked in me that labored all the more. As long as you can remember that, yes, you have stayed out of sin. Yes, you have done mighty things. Yes, you have, but you had faith and you got a new job, or you got a new land, or you built a new house. As long as you can remember, it was grace. It was God that worked in you. It's not you that did it yourself, but it was God that was working in you. As long as we are always conscious that it is not by human effort, it is by grace, then we live a life that is dependent on God. And this is where now we call the justification by faith, where we remember that it is God that has helped us. It is God that even helped us to hear the gospel, to understand it, to believe it. Why? Because he gave us prevenient grace. Like, before we even believed in him, he was working it out. He was directing our thoughts. He was directing our steps. He was showing us here and there. He was guiding our steps. So there is a righteousness that has been revealed, which is from first to last, which is by faith. So once we have the understanding that the human nature is sinful, there's nothing that we can do out of our own effort that can make us righteous. The Jews tried it. They followed the law. They kept the Ten Commandments. They did everything in their power. They thought, and then when the young man came to Jesus, he was told, "One thing you still lack. Go and sell everything and follow me." And the young man left disappointed. Why? Because he did not realize that the law was just a shadow. Keeping of the Ten Commandments was just a shadow. The true fulfillment was found in following Christ. So everything that we do as our human effort, the Bible calls us, our righteous acts are just like filthy rags before God. Those things that you feel, you see men beat themselves, "Oh, I've fasted this number of days. Oh, I've done this." Yes, they're good in themselves. They work out some form of godliness. But you see, they easily deny the power that even in that fast, who helped you? It was God. Even in that giving, who helped you? It was God. Even in those miracles, who did it? It was God. And you can see, if we can learn from Jesus, he says, "I do nothing out of my own accord. I only do what I see my Father does." And when he says that, he takes not the glory for himself, but he gives the glory back to God. So we must constantly be reminded that our faith is a result of God's work. And today, even as we'll be looking at it, and maybe it's interesting how the message puts it, that we are not told an Abraham story, but we are told a God story. And all that Abraham did was that he connected to the story of God. I want to tell you something today. The story of your life is not your story. It is God's story writing it through your life. And it is you to connect to that which God has done for you. I think whenever we face challenges or whenever we face big things that we need to do, we must realize that actually it is God that brought us to this place. Where you are in your workplace, it is God that brought you there. Where you are in your career, it is God that has been working it out. You can look back and you can see where you as a person, you don't qualify. Abraham looked at himself. He didn't qualify. He was old. His wife was old. They faltered. They went and brought in Ishmael. David looked at himself. Yes, he was a great hunter, but he looked at himself and said, you know what? I was the last born of my father. I was just taking care of the sheep. It was God that picked me from that place, picked him from being a shepherd and made me the shepherd of Israel. It was God that showed him mercy and forgave him where every man condemned him. Where to, you know, today people will say, no, that man was an adulterer. But he was still the one who God calls a man after my own heart. I have found for myself a man after my own heart. And he will do everything I have commanded. That means that even that doing, it is him that wills us to do and to act according to his good pleasure. I tell you, your life is ordered by God. Your life is directed by God. Your actions are directed by God. When you are in the faith in Christ, when you've believed in Jesus, even what you do, even wrong decisions that you do, God is still able to turn them around. He's still able to direct them. He's still able to give you grace and favor. Why? Because you are walking out into his story. It is about connecting into his story. So let's read. And we're in Romans chapter 4. And we will, it's just what I've been saying. But let's read from the message today. So that, and maybe, I mean, when you have time, you can go back to the normal version. And it says, so how do we fit what we know of Abraham, and this is what we say, what do we learn from Abraham, Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did for God got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. But the story we are given is a God story, not an Abraham story. What we read in scripture is Abraham entered into what God was doing for him, and that was a turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of being right on his own. If you're a hard worker and do a good job, you deserve your pay. We don't call your wages a gift. But if you see that job is too good, too big for you, that it is something only God can do, and you trust him to do it, you could never do it for yourself, no matter how hard and how long you worked. Well, that's trusting him to do it is what gets you set right with God, by God, a sheer gift. And then he says, David confirms this way of looking at it, saying that the one who trusts God to do the putting everything right without insisting on having a say is indeed one fortunate man. Fortunate those whose crimes are whisked away, whose sins are wiped clean from the slate. Fortunate the person against whom the Lord does not keep score. Do you think for a minute that this blessing is only pronounced over us who keep the religious ways and are circumcised? Or do you think it's possible that the blessing could be given to those who never even heard of our ways, who are never brought up in the disciplines of God? We all agree that it was by embracing what God did for him that Abraham was declared fit before God. Now think, was that declaration made before or after he was marked by the covenant rite of circumcision? That's right, before he was marked. That means that he underwent circumcision as evidence and confirmation of what God had done long before to bring him into this acceptable standing with him, an act of God he had embraced with his whole life. Now, just to pause there, to let us take stock of that. We are taking stock that what did Abraham discover? That he was justified by faith, not by works. And justification here being given a right standing, being set right with God. That means when you go to a court of law, you're either declared guilty or not guilty. Now, you can see there are people, yes, who've gone to, you know, who killed someone. But then when the court is ruled out, the person is acquitted or declared not guilty. Yes, the person, yes, may have done that. Maybe it may have been in self-defense. But when the evidence is brought and there is no evidence and the lawyers do their job and all that, at the end of the day, the judge can declare guilty or not guilty. Now, when we think of justification by faith, that means that we come to God's court and it is God himself that declares us not guilty. Now, we don't come and say, oh, you know, I have lived a holy life. Oh, I've never sinned. Oh, I've never cheated anyone. Oh, I've never done this wrongs. No, when we come to God, we don't come beating our chest like that young man who said that since a child I have kept this. But we come to that place and say, Father, I connect to what your son did on the cross. I believe that he died for me. And by that, I receive the righteousness that you give me. So there's this righteousness that is being taught us. This righteousness that we see that was demonstrated in Abraham. That the Bible says that he was chosen. That God saw him and it's God who reached out to Abraham. Abraham was just living his life. In fact, when you read the history, you find that, you know, he was in the land of the Chaldeans, and the Chaldeans were moon worshippers. They worshipped the moon god, so they were astrologers. He was just living there. Then God comes and tells him, leave your father and mother, your kindred. Move out of that town and go to a place I will show you. At that point, was Abraham, you know, a holy man? Was he someone that he was, you know, he had done so much for God? No. It is God that chose him. Were there other men in that time? Were there other people who were active, who were, you know, maybe offering sacrifices and doing things? Yes, there were. But you see, God chose Abraham as an example of the faith that he will do for you and me. And that's how, when you look at yourself, think of your relatives, think of your clan members, think of your nation, think of how God just chose you. And out of your family, out of the many people that could have been even in that job, God just chose you. So what you see is that Abraham, it was not an Abraham story. It was a God story. It is God that is writing our story. So Abraham connected to what God was doing for him, and he became justified. And that's why we are being told, if someone is working, yes, they will come and demand. Father, you know, Hezekiah is the one who demanded. He said, remember, you know who I am. Remember what I have done for you. All these years I've done this. Yes, there's a place for that. And God remembered, yes, and gave him that, yes. But you see, if you realize that even in all those things that you did, it was God that helped you, you will pray differently. Say, Father, I thank you. Please put into remembrance the things that you have helped me do for you all this time. I can only depend on your mercy and on your grace. It is just a shift in our perception. It's a shift in our paradigm that it is by grace. We live by grace. We live by faith, not of ourselves, not of our human effort. If you are to think of our human effort, David should be dead. David should be judged by God. David, you know, you can think of, ask yourself, why would God still choose Solomon? You can think of, and Solomon is a product of David and Bathsheba. Remember, the first child died. it was adultery. But then when they got a second child, the Bible says he called him Solomon, but then the Lord loved him. The Lord loved Solomon. And that Solomon who was loved, he even sent a prophet to come and name him. Please name him also Jedidah. Why? Because I have loved him. Now, is that a story that makes sense? That God can love that child who is born out of with that history where the father killed, killed Uriah. You know, he killed the husband of his wife. But that is the kind of story that brings glory to God. That is the kind of story that God shines in. So your story, no matter how ugly it looks like, it is the kind of story that brings glory to God. So think of yourself, if you look back, if you think that, I don't deserve the mercies of God, I can assure you, you are in good company. Abraham was not worthy. He was a moon worshiper. He was an idol worshiper. He was living his life, but God chose him. Even in his walk, even along his walk with God, he still failed. He still failed as a person. He still failed as a couple with his wife. But God still said, I have chosen him. I have made you a father of many nations. Think of David. David was nothing when God chose him. But God made him and made him the king. And then even in his walk, he still failed. But then he went back to him and he realized that there is a blessedness. There is a blessedness of those whose the Lord covers their sin, whose sins are forgiven. I assure you, when you're in Christ, your sins are forgiven. When you've asked God to forgive your sins, it is not for you to go back and start dwelling on them, to start thinking, I've done this. Blessedness. There is a blessedness. You are blessed because you have trusted that there is someone who is not counting your sin against you. In fact, when you go back to God, he does not ask, you have sinned again. No. He says, I have forgiven your sins and I remember them no more. Now, this does not call us to now live in sin, as some people say, should we sin so that grace abounds? No. But it calls us to walk in that mercy, to be guided by that truth. But no matter how many times we fall, as long as we can hear that voice that is calling us back, let us turn back to God. Now, verse 12. And it means, Father, that Abraham is the father of all people who embraced God for what God does for them while they're still there out with God, as yet unidentified as gods in an uncircumcised condition. It is precisely these people in this condition who are set right by God and with God. Abraham is also, of course, the father of those who have undergone the religious rite of circumcision, not just because of the ritual, but because they are willing to live in the risky faith embrace of God's action for them, the way Abraham lived long before he was marked by circumcision. So this promise that we are looking for is only given by faith. That famous promise, verse 13, God gave Abraham that he and his children will possess the earth, was not given because of something Abraham did or would do. It was based on God's decision to put everything together for him, which Abraham then entered when he believed. If those who get what God gives them only by getting it, by doing everything they're told to do and filling out all the right forms properly signed, that eliminates personal trust and completely turns the promise into an ironclad contract. That's not a holy promise. That's a business deal. A contract drawn up by a hard-nosed lawyer with plenty of fine print only makes sure that you will never be able to collect it. But if there is no contract in the first place, simply a promise, and God's promise at that, you can't break it. This is why the fulfillment of God's promise depends entirely on trusting God and his way. and then simply embracing him and what he does, God's promise arrives as pure gift. That's the only way every one of us can be sure to get in. Those who keep the religious traditions and those who never heard of them, for Abraham is the father of us all. He is not our racial father. That's reading the story backward. He is our faith father. And maybe I will continue looking at Abraham as a father tomorrow. But what are we saying? We are saying that when we come to connect to what God has done, it is a faith that connects to the promise of God. And this is where you will have to distinguish even preachers. You'll have to distinguish even how doctrine is taught, because many people easily swing from the connecting by faith to the connecting by works. Each of them, yes, are important. There are two sides of a coin. There is what you do, yes. Show me your faith by what you do. But there is the faith that comes by putting, depending on the promise alone. The two sides of the coin work hand in hand. But you see, God wants us first and most important to trust that it is Him that has done it for us. It is us that connect with Him. It is us that look to Him and not beat our chest and say, oh, look at how many hours I've prayed. Look at how much word I have read. Look at how consistent I have been in the ministry. This is the challenge, and this is the area where we struggle with, even among the faith and understanding of it, where many are taught the things that you must do and they pride themselves. And that is what is called religion. Religion is what you do to get to God. And that's why Christianity is not a religion per se. It is not human effort to get to God. It is God's effort to get to man. So it's a relationship. It is God's story, and it's us to connect to God's story. And it is a promise. The faith, the hope for Abraham was not rested on how faithful he was, but it was rested on the promise that God made to him. And this is the way we're saying the righteousness that we have is rested on the promise of God through Christ Jesus. I'll stop there, and I pray that God has spoken to us and we shall be able to put our faith in Him and constantly, constantly, constantly remind ourselves that this is God's story. This is what God has written for us. We are basically living it. The marriage we have, it is God who worked it out, and we are living it. And what God has written is good. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for them that love Him. Amen. You're welcome, my brother and sister. You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the message. Indeed, God works in mysterious ways sometimes. Yes, the Bible says it's only by faith that we. And when you look at Abraham, that's what David is. By and what were the most, they could not come off as the most faithful people. Abraham was, of course, worshipping foreign gods. The Bible tells you that God had already chosen him. I mean, at that moment when he was worshipping foreign gods, you look at David being declared as a man after God's own heart, you can see the life was living. About, you know, he was a liar and all that. But still, he remembered to always go before God and ask for forgiveness. So I think I'm just trying to understand. I'm like, okay, as it said, of course, it's not the actions that we put out there that matter, but what faith you hold deep in matters. And I think this also begins to make sense when they say many will be surprised when you go to heaven and you're like, oh, you are here. down in hell and say, hey, this person ended up down there. How? You know, because as humans, we look at action and we fall so easily for the words we hear. But then the God we worship looks deep down in the heart. So the faith we hold down in our hearts, I think, is what counts at the end of the day. Thank you for that.
Amen. Thank you for that reflection.
Thank you for sharing. I don't have much to say. It's just to thank God for his grace. Actually, as you were sharing, I was just remembering that song that talked about grace found me, grace saved me. Mm-hmm. It's all God's mercy, yeah? Because I was even just thinking, sometimes I tell the children, I say, because maybe sometimes they're telling me about a friend that is a Muslim. One of the things I always tell them is that you need to even just thank God that you were even born into a Christian family, for starters, you get. So, you know, they'll say, oh, someone is good, but this person is a Muslim. But it's not at the point of children, it's not that child's fault, you get. Mm. Now, I just tell them, you pray that the person eventually finds God. But the fact that you're even born into a Christian family, you have an opportunity to choose God early, you know, because at this point now, your parents are the ones that decide, you know, when someone is still a child. But it's just God's grace that says, okay, I'm going to place you in a Christian home. Mm. And you also can't question him and say, why was the other person? Mm. Yeah, the Bible tells us that his ways are past finding out, yeah. But anything that God allows us to enjoy, first of all, you know, the gift of salvation, we just thank him for his grace and thank him for counting us worthy, yeah. Mm.
Man, wow. it's they say if you can explain it to a child, you've understood it, so keep it up. Yeah, so, and indeed, yes, that's all. It's not of our effort that any man can boast. Even Abraham himself cannot boast before God. It's only God who does it. It starts with him, it continues with him, it is maintained by him, and it will be completed by him. That is our life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us, O God. O God, forgive us for the many times we have thought it is our effort. It's our running. It's our striving. It is our fasting. It is everything that we do that makes us justified before God. Forgive us. But Lord, let us learn to depend on you. Even when we have stayed in that place of consistency, we know it is you that has helped us. Even when we have stayed doing the right thing, we know it is you that helped us to make those choices. Even when we have obeyed you, it is you that helped us obey you. And yet, even for that person that wants to get to this faith, to this righteousness, I pray that even as they put their faith in you for the forgiveness of their sins, that you cleanse their hearts and you purify them and you make them whole before you. And I pray for your hand protection and guidance to sustain us, to keep us, and to strengthen us. And even for our needs, may you meet them. Thank you that indeed you've already met them, O God. And indeed you're working out a way, O God, a way out of trouble, a way in wisdom, a way that we can see the end, O God. Indeed, the path of the just keeps shining brighter and brighter till the morning day, O God. Thank you for our family members, our children. Thank you for the things that we need to do. Give us grace. Go ahead of us. Negotiate on our behalf. Fight on our behalf. And we just walk into that perfect story that you prepared beforehand. Indeed, may we see that things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived, what you have prepared for them that love you and are called according to your purpose. We honor you, we trust in you, and we depend upon you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead.